I love seeing everybody's puppies, you know? It's just so fun. We see puppies and cats and kids. I love it. Is that Blazer? Yeah. I remember when you got him. Yeah. So. All right. So, I just want to say this before we see where your questions are and what I can clarify. He's like, why do you even need to know all this? Why am I even teaching you this in a meditation teacher training? I guarantee you, if you took Jack Kornfield and Tara Brock's program, they're not teaching you about this. So you don't need to know any of this to be a meditation teacher or to be a meditator, right? However, there are certain ways that this information helps us to not just balance our emotions and our thoughts and our earth life. Kriyananda was really, really clear. We have to balance our earth life. Because you can't move into those deeper places of peace and equanimity and real deep bliss that you may be wanting to experience if you haven't learned to balance your earth life, which doesn't necessarily mean you have the 4,000 square foot house and you can travel to Paris every month for breakfast and, you know, you've got the job and your kids are all in college at Ivy League schools. It doesn't mean that at all. It means, can you balance your reactions? Can you become responsive to life as opposed to reactive to life? That's what it means. So everything you do that helps you become responsive and less reactive is balancing your earth life. And meditation techniques help you balance your earth life. Doesn't matter. They do. That's what they're for, right? They're really, really good for that. And as your meditation gets your concentration, your ability to sustain your attention, your awareness of what is going on with you increases in your meditation. It increases in your earth life. It increases in your earth life. It increases in your meditation. And they just feed each other in this beautiful synergy. So why am I even teaching you about the energy body and chakras and all this stuff? Because underneath this, maybe I better should be better to say it this way. It's kind of a core assumption in the meditation that I do that has changed my life is this recognition that this physical world we see is not all there is. It's just not all there is. And so understanding what is behind this physical world, starting to understand as logically as we can, but also experientially, right? Changing your thoughts and then seeing things change around you. Holding those thoughts that draw you to what it is you're seeking. You know, remember the thing with the rope, the anchor, right? We're drawing ourselves to. Understanding that is what reinforces this knowing. And we don't want it to be a belief. We don't want it to be because Karen said so or Kriyananda said so or the physicist said so. We want it to be a knowing that we have experienced that as I understand this other realm and how my activities, for lack of a better word, in those realms affect this realm, that's important stuff. It's really important to understand what are the samskaras that are running you. What are we talked about in the Ripa class yesterday? What are the vasanas, the really deeply, deeply held undercurrents of belief that are running us? And then as we change those, we see our world changing, and we know. We don't know intellectually. We don't just believe because someone said so. We know in that really deep way from your own experience that there is a realm that precedes this realm. And as you become more adept and able to work with those energies, that's how you can transform not just yourself, but the world around you, the world you have created for yourself. Does that make sense? So in this system of meditation, it matters. And it matters to me because it reinforces this idea, this concept that what is real never changes. Only what is unreal changes. And by unreal, we mean something that's transitory. It's impermanent. It's not going to last. There is something that we are going to take with us. I believe that. There's a part of me that knows that because I have done the, never mind. We don't need to know that. And so there we are. That's to me why we're doing this, so that we can really begin to grasp. And the more you grasp it, the more you live from that place, which makes it easier to let go of the things in this world that up till now really mattered. Getting the promotion. You know, getting the nice house, having your kids do well, thinking that everybody's the people in your life are a reflection of you, as opposed to realizing that the people in your life are a reflection of you only to the extent that you can love them and support them as they are. Your kid throws a tantrum, whether they're 3 or 30. You know, we ball up and we feel shame because, oh my God, what are people going to think of me if my kid is behaving that way? That's what our culture teaches. When we live in this other realm, and I call this other realm meditation land, this is meditation land. In meditation land, it's not about that. It's about, can I show up and understand what my kid is going through and support them in the way that in my wisdom is most appropriate? Sometimes that means letting them move back in and taking care of them. Sometimes it means cutting them off and letting them live on the street. Only you know which one is the right answer. But it's not about them being a reflection of you. It's your response to them is what is a reflection of you. They have their own karma. They have their own life. You have zero control. You follow me? And ditto with spouses. It's not about if your spouse is an asshole. And I mean women and men. I'm not just talking men here, right? It's about, do you understand them? Do you have compassion for them? Can you support them on their path? And to the rest of the world, that was a really shitty thing to do. In your mind, it's like, oh my God, she's having a really, really rough time right now. This just happened. This just happened. This just happened. And this just triggered. And for her, yeah, it wasn't great, but you know, this is better. This is her handling it the best she can, or him. Are you following me? You see how this is a heart opening space? This is a heart opening path. This is about you. This is about you understanding that what is out here is not what is real. And as Kriyananda said to me, when I was so concerned about what color my clothes were for my initiation, right? I don't care about what you're wearing, Karen. I care about the quality of your soul. This path, and understanding what's out here is not what's real. This is about really grasping and living from a place where it's the quality of your mind, your heart, your soul that matters. And letting go of what other people think of you. So that's why, to me, I'm teaching this stuff. Okay? So with that, let's open it now to other questions. To you guys talking for a little bit here. Ramon, yes.
Okay. I've read a lot about chakras, and until you explained it, and I really don't understand. I just kind of read it, like you said, sometimes to just get an introduction to it and then just kind of, you know, let it sit there for a bit. Are we working with multiple chakras at a time, or are we working with one at a time?
When?
Like right now, am I living within one chakra, or am
nope.
I living?
Oh, great question. Great question. Oh, that is a really good question. And there's a way I could answer that question where I could say, and Kriyananda has said, we are predominantly living in the solar plexus, right? But not really. We are really living in every chakra at all times. There is karma firing in all of them. So I would, when he gave that teaching, it was in a very specific way. So I kind of felt compelled to say it because I was told it, but no, we are balancing all the chakras. And in our more advanced techniques, when we move into rotations, which we will not do in this training, this is something for if we want to do further study, you're working with all the chakras, balancing all the chakras. They're all at play. They're all at play. Yeah. That was a very good question. I see quizzical looks, so I just really want to know what's the quizzical.
I can ask another question.
Go for it. You've got the floor. Yeah.
Is the goal to ascend to another chakra? Like if you're in the earth,
yes.
If you're currently in there, is the goal to, okay.
Yes. Okay. The teaching is we are always, the way to balance out say if you're depressed, which would be a root chakra, depressed, heavy energy in a general sense. The way to balance out is to go to the chakra above. So if we're dense and heavy and depressed, we move to the next chakra up, which is where things start to expand and open up. And we look for things that bring a smile, that lighten us up. And we aspire to move into a more expansive state in real general terms. If you're here at the solar plexus and the chakra there is really associated with anger, not just anger, but, really assertive outgoing energy. It's just like when Agnieszka, when we were chatting in the break, she's like, I've got a lot of energy. Her Mars, her fire chakra, her solar plexus is alert and alive, right? Well, let's say that energy is really stuck in a lot of anger. And there's a lot of anger in our country right now, right? A lot of that kind of energy out there. Principle, move to the next chakra up. The next chakra up is about harmony and beauty and love in the sense of that open-hearted place, that non-judgmental open-hearted place. So if we're trying to balance a lot of anger, sometimes it helps to think, oops, I've got to lift up to the chakra above it. Let me find a way to feel more harmonious, to feel less judgment. Yes. And which is why the chakric tree, we go from denser to less dense. And by the time we get up to this area, the karma is much lighter and enlightenment, ascension, samadhi is associated with the sun center or the Brahmaranda, but for our purposes, up in here. So this path up is the path to enlightenment, samadhi, nirvana. Does that help? That answer it? Yep. Good question.
Is there a way to predominantly know what chakra you're working out of, like, most of the time? Because I know there's probably, this, you said they're shooting at multiple, there are multiple of them shooting at one time. But is there a way to say I predominantly
work with this chakra? I'm in this chakra right now. This is the one I'm living out of at this point.
Yeah. Now there's two answers to that. Kriyananda would say, look at your chart, mm-hmm. your astrological chart, right? Mm-hmm. And you should each bring your charts to the retreat. Bring your chart, have your chart with you. And if you have your journal, bring your journal. Okay. Now, if you don't have your chart, because I didn't get a chance to give you a copy of your chart, just hit me. We didn't get to meet in person. You don't have copies of your chart. I will print you all copies of your chart. You should have a copy of your chart. So I got to add that to my list. I'm going to ask my Brenda. Brenda, would you text me to be sure to print everybody's chart for them? Okay. And then Kathleen and Lisa, I'll make sure to email it to you. Okay.
Yeah, I have mine. I'm
good. You do have yours. Okay. So yes, he would say, look at your chart. The other one is just, you know, what are you dealing with every day? Just keep a little, mental note or if you want to even just kind of journal, but what is the dominant energy field you were feeling that day? If you're feeling depressed and afraid, generally speaking, we'd say you're in the root chakra. If you're feeling, that's falling back into the pattern of focusing on the fucking negative. God damn. Okay, let's change that. If you're feeling stable and disciplined and balanced and or afraid or depressed, root chakra. If you're feeling energized, enthusiastic, lighthearted, or really attached to things, greedy, like just you got the I wants, that could be water chakra. If you're feeling strong and like you've got the energy you need to get out there and do what needs to be done, or if you're feeling particularly frustrated or angry or what's the word I'm looking for here? Like everybody's out to get you, like nothing's going your way, those kind of feelings, that would put you right there at the fire chakra. If you're feeling a lot of, I'm going to go back for a minute because this is so fundamental to us, resistance and attachment. Resistance, you would be in the root chakra. Attachment, you would be in the water chakra. Okay. All right. If you're feeling jealous, no, not jealous. If you're feeling, well, let's start with positive. If you're feeling just a lot of beauty and just really seeing the beauty and the harmony and the appreciating those kinds of things in your life. If you're the kind of person that just likes to dress really nice and have everything just kind of look, your house or you look that way, that's living out of the heart chakra. If you're feeling, if you're living from a place where you are experiencing attachment, but more in a real possessive way, like this is mine, this belongs to me, you know, like, possessive of a relationship, possessive of a position, possessive of a title, possessive of your air miles that, you know, in COVID, my husband is so sweet. You know, he's just not traveling at all. And he had miles and he had elite status because always getting upgraded to first class and all that, right? And he just doesn't have that now. And that losing that kind of status, that kind of, ooh, it hurts, right? And he'll talk openly about it. Ooh, one of the hardest things is losing my elite status on the airline. That's heart. So many of you are laughing about this. I love that. That's because it happened to me
and I just think it's funny.
Yeah. Cause it's a real thing, isn't it? Yeah. That's heart. Up here is if you're very much in your head, always analyzing, thinking things through, trying to approach life from your head instead of being present with the nuance, the subtlety, being present to the, I'm going to just use the word, the emotions that are being experienced in a moment, then you're up in your throat chakra. I'm going to be a lot more reluctant to say what you're experiencing here because I'm trying to keep these chakras as balance points for us. Mm-hmm. So for our purposes, this is the wisdom and intuitive centers that we are learning to trust. Okay. So when you have an insight, when you have just a sense that when you have a new insight, you're up here. When you have an intuition, like I just love it. And I know this happens to you guys too. Your phone rings and you think to yourself, oh, is that so-and-so? And you look at it and it's so-and-so, right? You're up in here. You're up in here. More intuitive, trusting, wisdom, not buffeted by the other energies. Then you're up that area. How was that? Did that help?
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right. Okay. All right. Karen, that was fun. I love doing this shit. Okay. What was that? Somebody started to say something.
I just had a question. I was thinking the upper one too, and maybe it's up here, or maybe it's more throat, is higher perspective or seeing multi perspectives of something instead of being stuck. Okay. I didn't know if that was here.
I could see how the higher, so you're seeing the broader view. I could totally see that being up here. Some people would say it's a higher octave. It's a higher, you know, every chakra has its kind of its levels.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, there's within more it. Than
seven. Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. 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 Kelsey.
Okay. I have two comments and a question. Okay. My first comment is thank you for saying earlier, when you were talking about like other people being reflections of us. And it's more about the nuance of like how we're responding is the reflection that we're seeking, because that I've heard that so many times and been really confused and caught up in it. And so to hear it that way makes so much more sense. Like, oh, how am I responding to this person? What does that tell me about me? Cause I can gain a lot more from that personally.
Well, and Kelsey, let's stop with this for a minute, because this is a really big thing in our culture. I mean, and think about it. You're raised that your parents, you are a reflection of your parents. Well, especially where I was raised, is don't shame me. You know, shame on you. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, and this idea, and I had a dear, dear friend, her constantly telling me, oh, you're a good parent because your kids did blah, 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 blah. And I'm trying to go, no, my kids did blah, blah, blah. My kids getting into college or not going to college is not the barometer of me as a parent. As soon as you say your kid did this, so you are a good parent, it's like, well, you know, then you're also responsible for they did that. It doesn't go just one way. And the bottom line is your kid came in for their karma and your job is to support them. They are not a reflection of you. Lisa, yeah.
It's stealing their journey.
Yes. Astea. Yeah. Exactly. And in fact, it was when I was way back when I was working with non-stealing, that's where I had that insight, was that it was not mine to take credit for my kids. You know, okay, we want to be stable. We want to be, but we are who we are. We are a reflection of our thoughts and our heart. That's what's a reflection of us. And we're bucking against an entire trend in the culture that judges you as a person based on who you're married to, who you're involved with, where you work, how your kids act, how your kids don't act. You know, what if you have the karma because you're so kind and open-hearted that you have a kid that came in through you who is really a troubled soul? A soul that is really struggling and just needed a person to love them. And what if that's what it's about, is how much can you love and provide the right, the balance of boundary and unconditional acceptance, right? For someone. The world is judging because your kid, I mean, my daughter is, her nephew on her husband's side has a lot of mental disabilities. And so he's has a lot of behavior issues. And in our culture, his parents are judged because he keeps going around and pressing buttons and setting fire alarms off and doing things like that. But in his head, he doesn't know. He doesn't understand that. He sees something and he wants to interact with it. And it's not about their bad parents because they haven't controlled him. They are struggling parents trying to understand this child and be a support for him, which is very different than, oh my God, they're horrible parents. Every time Koa comes around, he's just in there pressing all the buttons on my washer and he sets off the security alarm and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh my God. It's not it. It's not it. Is that, are you following me? Okay, Brenda.
Well, my daughter is 14 and we were in the car yesterday and she was talking about, she just takes these moments and she was talking about feeling really anxious and all the thoughts that go through her head. And of course, I've got all this anxiety class stuff going through my head going, don't say it because she's not there yet, right? But she kind of paused and with kind of this question and I just said, well, it's amazing the power of our minds is all I said. And she goes, Mom, we just have two separate value systems. And in the past, that would have set me like, whoa, I don't want her to have two separate value systems, right? But she said, you're all about like peace and kindness and all these things. And she goes, and my thoughts are about how I really want to kill someone and I'm not going to because it's not right. And I went, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. And we changed the subject. Like that kind of response of like the difference in how I would have handled that, you know, a year ago even, of just, she just wanted to say what she wanted to say. And I didn't say how horrible that was or think, oh my gosh, she needs therapy. She's thinking about killing people. Like it just was how she wanted to say it, you know?
How did that feel to realize that you had the ability to just have that thought, just let her have her thought without
very
free. It being a reflection of you, right?
Yeah. It's very freeing. And I hope it is for her too.
I have a feeling it is. Wow, Brenda, that's the victories, right? This in meditation land, that's what we value. That's what we understand how much work it's taken to get there. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And I don't know about you guys, but I never got that kind of response from my parents. It was top down. Tell me what to think. What was wrong with me? Do it this way. Bum, 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 bum. You know? And so, yeah. Thank you, Brenda. Any other questions then or comments? Kelsey, we interrupted you. We have another comment and another question coming. Yes. But thank you for the tangent. I think that was an important tangent. Yeah.
Yeah, no interruptions here. All of this is just creating space for more. So my second thought was when Ramon was talking about like, how do we know which chakra is firing or like which one is really active? And as we've been talking about the chakras today, I'm thinking about my own past and how I felt like a lot of activation in my throat over the years. And especially within this last year, as I've tried to like shift dynamics and be more truthful, like let my truth out, because I have such a habit and a history of like just shutting that down and keeping that to myself and, you know, for the sake of other people and their comfort. Yes. So I don't know. It's just really coming alive for me right now of, oh, when I allow these truths to connect, that's where my throat chakra is really activating and letting, like, it's excited to be of use is basically how I'm thinking about it. So I just wanted to share that because that's very present for me a lot of the time.
Nice.
And then my question is on this piece of paper here. I got the flow of karma. Are we going to talk about this priority of causation side?
Yeah. 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 Well, we did. Let me go over it again. What did not compute about that?
What does causation mean in this context?
Manifestation.
Okay. So.
So in the meditation world, whether you're in the Buddhist or the yogic side, and also there's a phrase that says, there is no independent causation. In other words, nothing manifests without a cause. And so in our physical world, we think, I dropped the pen and it fell. That's the cause. I let go. It fell, right? I hit the ball flies through the air. So we live in that kind of cause and effect. What this is reminding us is that there is a cause that begins before the physical realm, a cause that begins in our thoughts or the feeling state. And prior to it being in the physical world, it is a thought. Prior to being thought, it might be a feeling state. Prior to it being a feeling state, it may be just a whiff of potential. And you will sense this when you get into deep meditation, it's like the thoughts are just kind of hovering them. You can almost, you'll get to the point where you can almost, and this won't happen all the time, but it'll happen where you can almost literally sense the thought arising, literally just kind of starting to take form, at which point you have a choice to continue to let it form or to let it redissolve back into wherever it was. And this is, remember that technique Lisa did with us? She gave us the body scan using the yoga nidra patterning. This is the purpose of yoga nidra. Yoga nidra is that state of awareness where you can see the thoughts before they're forming. It's like you can see the vasanas, right? You can see the thoughts just before they're forming. And you have the power to go in there and reshape them and reform them, correct them or whatever. It's a very powerful place. And that's what we might call, in our case, the causal realm. So does that answer?
Yeah, that makes sense. I got confused. Thank you.
Okay. All right. April, yeah.
So since we're talking about handouts, was there something, I mean, so this one,
the limbs.
Well, yeah, but it's like, it's just like, it's the eight limbs, but it's like, so we've got the eight limbs and it's broken down over several handouts. And then there's just this one handout that's got them all on it.
Yeah, I think the idea was that they showed us different things. So there's, here, let me share screen now. So there's this one. Let me make it smaller. Mm-hmm. And you guys see that one? Right? Which this has got one set of information. This one breaks down the yamas and the niyamas, the solar lunar channel. It shows there's an idea called one-pointedness in meditation, which when you get to the point where the object you're concentrating on and the process of meditation and you as a meditator all cease to be an effortful process, but you just kind of, you're resting in, you are the Hong Sa. You are the, it's like after maybe the, after when we finish doing sipping breath or e-mantra or pranayamas and you're just resting there in that suspended floaty place where there's no thought, there's just, this is what we call the one-pointedness. And so this triangle is kind of showing that we're moving from that broader awareness that it takes to just exist day to day. And as we gain these skills, our ability to focus and to find that portal into that place of who we really are, that experience of who we are. This graphic is a demonstration of that. And so the union samadhi symbol there is the symbol of the sun center. And the sun center, when we start to close our eyes and gaze, just gaze upwards at the sun center. At first, can I stop the share now to just talk about this?
Do we have this? Because I don't have this one.
You guys don't have this one?
Everybody else have it?
Yeah.
It was on last week's.
Yeah.
Oh, it was? Okay, I'll have to double check. Sorry.
Okay, do you want me to leave it up then?
No, it's fine. I just curious as I didn't see it, so I'll find it.
Okay. All right. So what this is showing us is when we meditate, we are taking our awareness of this outer reality and we are beginning to turn inward to the more subtle prior energies, the pranic subtle energies. And as we do that, we begin to, Kriyananda uses a phrase, we turn inward and then we start to lift the energy upward. So we're lifting up through the chakras, up to the more subtle centers. As we do that, we become more and more one-pointed and we can move through the portal of the sun center to that experience of union or samadhi. The portal of the sun center will eventually show up for you. It often starts, okay, so now I'm going to stop share because I want to just see your faces as I explain this. When you close your eyes, there's the screen of the mind. You see something. It's often dark, gray, black, could be nothing. Eventually you'll start to see it's like it starts to lighten up. The way one of my teachers describes it, it's that gentle luminosity that is in the sky just before dawn. It's just, it's instead of it being this dark blank boom, there's a gentle luminosity that you see in there. And close your eyes. See if you would see what you see. Just see what you see there. And that luminosity is not your eyeballs. This is different than than, you know, light coming in through the lids of your eyes. This is an internal luminosity. And over time, if you can rest your gaze here without any forcing or gripping or tightness or tension, in other words, no effort, just gazing, you will notice little dots or spots or static shapes or just little senses of color. You'll start to see something in there. And eventually those things will start to take form or shape. And eventually, one of the descriptions of this center is you will see this blue, this beautiful indigo blue color. It might be kind of blobbish in form and it moves. And at some point you might see a kind of greenish yellow color that's moving around. Or sometimes you might see a little bit of white, but it moves around in there. And without you, you don't do this. This just happens. What will happen is eventually it coalesces and it becomes a blue circle with that greenish golden ring, and it pulses. It just pulses. And eventually, with very subtle intention on your part, but it's not even intention. It's just you just naturally slip into a place of deep stillness, and the ring just sits there, the gold with the blue, and eventually in the middle you see a white speck, which becomes kind of like a little white star. And you have the sense that this is a portal. Some people call it looks like an eye to them. It's another way people describe it. But either way, this is the portal. And so that's what that diagram is my effort at symbolically representing the stillness, the stability, this ability to sustain your attention. And you discover this portal through the sun center. So there you go. That's what that diagram is. As opposed to the other diagram, which is more descriptive of the eight limbs.
That makes more sense, because this diagram, this one.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at this, I feel at ease. Like it's, I just automatically tend to, like, I get this, but the other one is just a list, and my brain wants to be like, this makes me uncomfortable.
then don't do this. Some other people probably like the list. I mean, yeah. It's two different approaches to the same material.
Okay, great. Yeah.
It's just two different approaches to the same material. And I think on the other one, if you, this one is really more the traditional teaching. I mean, it really is the same material, but the list is more, you are moving up the ladder step by step by step. And off on the right, there's that lotus, which is symbolic of the thousand petal lotus at the crown of the head. And if you just go step by step by step, this is where we get to. And it's, yeah. Neither one is complete, but it's just two different ways of sharing the information.
So when you were describing, you know, this kind of the triangle image, I'm curious if this is another way of looking at it, is like, this is how I start even just meditation. Like, just like, I'm at the bottom is where I'm like finding my seat, and there's some sounds and there's some things going on around me. And the more I get into pranayamas and it helps to focus my mind. And finally, we're getting into maybe the e-mantras, maybe I'm doing some of the techniques that are more centered with the moon and the sun, then I see those things come. It's like I've shut the outside world out and I'm really in. It follows this same path.
Yes.
Like it's this same thing. It's like the bigger, idea of moving through our life is still this kind of triangle, but it's the same triangle to me when I sit on my cushion.
And notice the shape of your body. Your seat is the base of the triangle. The thousand petal lotus, the top, right? And that's why I love Kriyananda's the only one I heard put it this way. It's a process. Now, and remember, meditation is a process. It's not a destination. It is not a destination, right? But it's turning inward, as you described, right? We start with the external and then we turn our attention inward and then lifting upward. And as we stabilize, the more still we get, the more we can reach that one pointed place where we can sustain our attention and go deeper.
Yeah. Like I can't see that the sun center when I find, it's kind of a periwinkle color for me. But I'll at this point, I can't do it by just closing my eyes and trying to find it. I have to get there through this. Like I have to really get in there before.
No, I mean, Kriyananda and Shelley, they can live in a place where they can walk in the world and the center's open and it's there. I've had a few times in my life where I would been working. My practice was deep enough that I could walk around. I could see the blue, right? With my eyes open. But most of the time, like I close my eyes right now. I mean, I had to really settle and still and to start describing it to you to find it. But it's a lot of times like just now, it's not there. It is. It reveals itself to you. And if you're not seeing it, it's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. And you can't make it come. You can't force it. It will show up. I spent years meditating, imagining it. Just imagining it, just kind of imagining it. And then one day it was my first retreat with Kriyananda and I was in France and I was in a town. Maybe 50 miles from where he was, but I was sitting in my hotel room and I was breathing. I'm doing Hong Saw and all of a sudden, whoo, it just appeared. And I was like, oh, that's it. And then it went away, right? As soon as I went, oh, that's it. He was like, and so, and it comes and goes. It is not a measure. And I'll tell the story again. I've said it many, many times. I know yogis who are so flippin' smart. They know all this stuff. They know it. They know it. They teach it. They walk around in Swami garb and they teach and they're profound. They've never seen this blue sphere or the blue pearl, some people might call it. They've never seen it. It's not a measure. It's not a measure. And then the other story Kriyananda tells of one of his disciples who, he's got a lot of stories about this guy. He loved women and he was in a bar and he was so proud of himself because he could see his sun center and he's trying to pick up this girl in this bar. And see, not all disciples, do you hear this, are pure, right? I mean, sex was alive and well in this man's world and he went where he needed to go to find it. And he's trying to impress this girl who's more of a, I don't know in the story that she was necessarily a hooker, but she was a person who also lived in the bar scene, right? And he's trying to impress her with this. And she goes, oh, you mean that thing? And she starts to describe the sun center to him, at which point it just deflated his whole thing about, oh, how awesome am I? I can see this, And so I tell the two stories to point out two things. If you don't see it, there's nothing wrong. And if you do see it, there's nothing great. You sense it. Some of us are not destined to see it in this life. There's nothing, doesn't mean you're not getting there. Doesn't mean you're not getting there. Okay. But I do describe it because for those of you who will see it, it's nice to know that it's a real phenomena. It is a real phenomena. Okay. So. And so I think, when they talk about the single eye, some people do see it at first as an eye because it's darker in the middle and it's blues, whatever. And, you think the eye of God, it's like, it's a thing. They didn't make this up.
So I have seen eyes. I've seen different people's eyes. And I have to tell you the first, first few times it was a little like, whoa, what is that? It was, other like faces. The other thing I was going to say about the chakras is when I was working on mine and working through emotions is a lot of times you can feel it. For me, because I'm so sensitive, I can feel it in my body. I know where it is. The ones that, might have some hidden issues.
Yeah. And Kathleen, you are sensitive. A lot of people don't feel it.
Yeah.
Don't feel it. And so it's like we did that exercise the other day with your shirt on your shoulders. Actually, I don't know what class that was. If I ask you right now to suddenly just close your eyes and to be aware of your shirt on your shoulders, you will feel it and you'll feel a subtle energy. You'll feel the sensation of your shirt resting on your shoulders. Whereas 30 seconds ago, you were totally unaware. And so just because you aren't feeling it doesn't mean it's not there. It just means you're not aware. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's still there, which is why this idea that where the mind goes, the energy follows is so important. Yes. You think it.
Yeah.
And it's the energy is following. Even if you're not sensing it or feeling it, the energy is going where your mind goes. Okay. I hope that's a comfort. All right. Well, we're just about done. Did we answer enough? Is there a little bit of clarity coming into this or is it? Yeah. Okay. Thumbs up from Ramon. Brenda, are you still a little thick or is it okay?
It's a little better now. I did want to ask the eight things, the eight limbs thing. So I missed last week's class. And then when I went to go watch it, there was only one part.
And when that happens, guys, email Darcy because she handles all that. I don't even know how to do it anymore. So as soon as you notice, just if there's anything missing or not right, Darcy is your person. Okay.
Yeah. So I sent it off to both of you, but, so was that covered last week when it does get posted or is that something that we're coming? Cause you started this saying, do you want to do that one first or the other thing first? And then I didn't know if it's cause we hadn't done it yet or.
I think we covered it briefly.
Okay.
But I don't remember because I'm teaching so many classes right now and my brain, I used to be able to track this shit like it was nobody's business. It was a true gift. And now I realize I wish I'd appreciated it more because I don't have it anymore.
Okay.
Kelsey, yeah.
I don't think we covered it all.
Yeah, we went over the yamas, but I don't think we went over.
Yeah, we went over the yamas, niyamas. Yeah.
But that was it. Yeah, we didn't.
But that was it. Yeah. We'll talk about it at the retreat a bit because the techniques we're working with come out of the Yoga Sutras and these where the eight limbs come from. But it's not, there's nothing in there that's critical. We'll cover it. We'll get it over these few weeks enough that you need. We're not doing a deep dive into the sutras. The important point is, that there are these eight stages that have kind of been proven to be a map that works. That's the main thing. Okay, so retreat. Hopefully we'll get it up on Zoom for Lisa and Kathleen. And I will have your charts printed if you don't have them. Please bring your journals if you've been keeping a journal or anything like that, you know, to share with me. We will have time to chat. We will have time, just us. And other than that, I'm so excited to see everybody in person. I can't even tell you. It's decidedly unascended. Yes. Equanimity be damned. I'm excited. So please travel safe. I will get an email out today with the latest on the COVID stuff. And any last minute stuff I've learned from Dan for the retreat center, because some of the normal ways we do things will be different. So I'll put all that in the email. And
well, Karen, if I can say really quickly, I had my last weekend was my first time really being around a lot of people after COVID. And I was thinking about this for the retreat as well, that even though I am super excited as well, it's probably going to feel a little overwhelming for some if you've been really isolated or you haven't had that experience. Because I've now had a group sing for the first time in a year and a half, which was like brought me to tears. And then going on a camping trip with a lot of people, I had to I told you this yesterday, I had to kind of retreat away for a while because it was really overwhelming. So.
Well, and that's what I'm going to address in the email is, you know, for many of us, it's the first time. I mean, I've been to a wedding with that many people, but you know, we will address that, and we're going to keep it. I mean, that's what I'm working on right now is how do we keep this so everybody is comfortable and respected and acknowledging that for many of us, this is the first time that many people, right? Mm-hmm. Although we've got Laura and Ramon and Janet and V who are going to be traveling through airports. So you guys are going to have a whole nother experience there. But yeah, thank you, Brenda. Yeah, we're going to try and be very sensitive to that. And I've already started just kind of trying to hold the field for the whole retreat. Oh, shit, shit, shit. God damn. Okay, no. I have this ritual for you guys. It's a ritual purification. I'm going to send it to you. April, you've already got it. But everybody else, I want to send it to you because this is something for you to do pre-retreat. Mm. And it just as a way of preparing your energy body, your mind, for that's kind of the sacred space we're going to have. So, I meant to have that. I'll get that sent off to you guys. I'll have Darcy post it on the page and I'll send it to you in an email. Okay. So that you can, it's just another level of preparing your inner body, your inner world for the energy that we're going to be working with. Okay.
I just added it to your text I'm about to send you.
Thank you. All right. Okay. With that, we've gone long. Thank you, everybody. And I will see you all, well, either on group or at the retreat. Okay. All right. Bye, everybody. Mm-hmm.